Craig Forrest, Soccer Central analyst for Sportsnet, joining us here on the Jeff Blair Show with Rob Wong and Ashley Docking. And Craig, you know, I was just talking about it with Ashley that for us, we don't really have a rooting interest with any team. You know, we're not associated with anybody as far as who's in this tournament. And for us, it's really about watching the storylines and watching the performances by a lot of these star players. What's your favorite part about this tournament that comes around every 4 years?
Well, for me, you know, being a player for Canada, I look at it, I look at underdogs. I like those stories. There's some really nice storylines for sure. If nobody has a team to lay their hat on or something to follow, the Iceland story is brilliant. You know, a country of 330,000 approximately qualifying for the World Cup is an amazing achievement. They made noise at Euro. It's not a fluke. They're a good side. It's hard to repeat and keep doing that with a country of that size, but they've done amazingly well. Egypt in the World Cup with Mo Salah, the Liverpool player. He's a fun player to watch. They're quite a defensive side. They don't give up a lot of goals, but if he gets on the ball, he's a joy to watch. So Egypt's kind of fun as well. So, but what we look for, the usual suspects are going to be there when the knockout stages come. Maybe we'll have a surprise, but you'll see Germany, Brazil, Messi's Argentina, last crack for him. Ronaldo, who won the Euro a couple of years ago, his last real opportunity at a World Cup, but they're going to need some luck like they did in Euro.
I understand the lure of an underdog story, and there's always some kind of Cinderella story, if you will, that captures the hearts of fans across the world, even if you're not necessarily cheering for that team. But hand in hand with that, there's always a superpower that disappoints and kind of breaks the heart of their fan base. This World Cup, is there a team that you think might underperform and fit that description?
Yes. Yeah, there always is. The French team is a very good side that could go an awful long way, but could also implode on themselves. Belgium is a dark horse team, again, with a great bunch of individual players. I mean, technically and individually, really good. Cruyff qualifying with the manager, Martinez. This is a time to shine, except there's been some infighting there and some confusion about tactics and some of the warm-up games going up to this tournament. So a good side that should perform well that could underperform again with a bunch of really good players.
What about Spain? How much is their head coach firing going to affect their performance, or will it at all? Because it could be something that's a little bit overblown. Obviously, the whole coaching staff has a tactical plan for the tournament. It's a day away now when they're playing, but is this something that's being overblown in terms of how it's going to affect the team's performance?
Well, only time will tell. Very interesting. You know, he was given the job, Lopetegui, with Real Madrid a couple days ago, and then they figured there was too much distraction, split dressing room, and decided to let him go. Now, the Spanish team are so well-rehearsed. They know how to play. They know what they're doing. There's no surprises. They had a really good qualifying as well. I don't think there'll be any confusion there. The players know what they have to do. They're a group of leaders. So I don't think it'll come down to the firing of Lopetegui, but it certainly is an interesting time to do this, and a decision that if they fail will be looked upon as the decision that was the start of it.
He's at home, Rob, just like praying for their demise.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be watching this with great interest to see how it all works. Craig Forrest, Soccer Central analyst for Sportsnet, joining us here on the Jeff Blair Show with Rob Wong and Ashley Docking in for Jeff today. And Craig, you talked about Lionel Messi's potentially his last crack here at finally winning a World Cup with Argentina. And I haven't seen too many predictions out there having Argentina in the mix for, you know, the final four or even the final game, of course. But, you know, we've seen it over the last few weeks here. I mean, Alex Ovechkin finally wins his Stanley Cup, and, you know, Kevin Durant wins another NBA championship. And that's all the talk these days, as we know, in a lot of pro sports about rings and championships and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, when it comes to Lionel Messi, he is one of the most decorated players of all time. He's got, his resume is incredibly long. People think of him as one of the best of all time. But in soccer, does this matter? Does winning a World Cup have that much of an effect as it does on, you know, an Alex Ovechkin or some other players that we see in North American pro sports?
You know, yes and no. I mean, from certain people's point of view and mine, I don't think he needs to do that. He's proved at the club level. He's got to a World Cup final. He's carried them by the bootstraps and qualifying this time around as well after announcing that he would retire. So he come back. It would be great, but I mean, to be the best player in the world and to have to win a World Cup, well, then that would have to mean that you couldn't come from certain countries because certain countries are not going to win the World Cup. So I think that that's a little bit unfair. I think the game almost owes Messi the World Cup. He's been so brilliant and such a servant to the sport. But that's why we play the games. And he will be trying, and they've got some decent players for sure. Not as tight as the Germans and the Brazilians, but or the Spanish or even the French, for instance. But when you have the best player, one of the very best players that's ever played the game, you have that X factor that, you know, they got to the World Cup final last time around. So we'll see what they can do. But it's a bit of a long shot for Argentina. But tournament format is different, you know, and it's different than a league. You have to manage it differently. They know what they're doing in tournaments. They're well experienced and well rehearsed in that. So it'll be very interesting to see how they perform in a very difficult situation, obviously not being one of the favorites.
Craig, some big news yesterday, the 2026 United bid for Canada, U.S., and Mexico was approved, I guess you could say. They won in a landslide vote to be able to host the tournament in 2026. Before we had you on, Rob and I were talking about the fact that I'll be in bifocals by the time this tournament gets here, and quickly my excitement turned to dread when I did the math.
I've already got the bifocal. Oh my goodness, yeah, it's 8 years away. Well, you know, it's incredibly exciting for Canada. It wasn't that long ago people laughed at the fact that we'd be in the conversation for hosting any World Cup games. So it's a really, really exciting time, a watershed moment for Canada. I think just from the building point of view, from the positive side of things, from corporate sponsorship and support leading up to it. And you know, in the past, we've had players that qualified for play for Canada, but they moved on. Owen Hargreaves, Asmir Begovic, and wanted to play for other countries and decided to leave Canada alone for different reasons. Now, there will be a group of players that will not want to do that because they want to crack at playing at the World Cup. Now, it's not guaranteed that the three countries are going to get automatic entry into it as hosts, but history tells us that that will probably be the case as long as they sort out the rest and be fair to the rest of the CONCACAF teams that they get enough berths. Now, 48 teams, there should be plenty of opportunity for other CONCACAF teams to get in there as well as a three host team. So a little bit different playing field, different landscape come 2026, of course, with the 48 teams. But incredible moment and a great opportunity for everybody. It's just going to lift the whole program. And if everybody works in the right direction, we should really be able to put a team on the field in 8 years that we should be proud of.
Yeah, hopefully it'll bring the men's program up in line with the women's program and the caliber and the world recognition that program has garnered over the last little while. In terms of the hosting nations getting the automatic bid, though, is there any situation that you can envision where two out of the three would be awarded, or will it be all or one? Like, how many ways could this get mixed up? Because I feel like it could get really sloppy, especially the Canadian men's program, which hasn't necessarily had a great showing on the national playing field.
Yeah, that's right. It's you know, to try to get in line sort of with the women is obviously, you know, difficult. It has been difficult, although it's a different landscape as well, the women's program. The women around the world, the programs are growing like we've never seen before, but there's still a lot of countries that don't give women opportunity, unfortunately, and we're working in those directions. Even in CONCACAF, some of the countries aren't giving those opportunities to women. I know that Karina LeBlanc, our women's former national team goalkeeper, is going to be working with CONCACAF to try to improve the relations between some of these male people that are running these organizations, associations in CONCACAF and around the world to give better opportunities to their women. So from the men's program, we can excel in this. We can certainly build in the right direction. We're seeing, when you look at participation of the sport in Canada, it's really strong, 850 to a million registered players. That's never really been the problem. 95% of them are playing recreationally, and that's brilliant, and so they should be. But we've never sort of made that extra step to, you know, from a spectator sport in Canada, we're way behind, but getting there because of Major League Soccer, and it takes us some major steps. But still got an awful long way from that point of view, but it's growing, and the baby steps that we've seen happen over, you know, the last 20 years or so, really positive moves in the sport, and certainly have a place in Canada on the sporting landscape.
Yeah, it really is exciting to think about what could happen on the way to 2026 and what potentially could happen after.
Besides
as you
a
mentioned,
hip replacement, Rob? Yeah,
besides that, besides purchasing a wheelchair. You know, it is true, though, that there's this groundswell, and we're just waiting for, you know, the fire to be lit as far as Canadian soccer goes. You mentioned with the participation numbers and everybody that's registered, you know, the Canadian women's team, everybody gets behind them when they're playing at these big international tournaments. So it's there. It's just waiting to be lit. Like I said, but it's going to be a lot of fun heading towards 2026. And of course, we got the World Cup beginning today, Craig. So we appreciate the time. Thanks for doing this and enjoy the tournament.
Pleasure. And if anybody saw Alfonso Davies, a 17-year-old young Canadian boy who's had quite the story getting to Canada with his family and immigrated to Canada, and now is going to be the poster boy for this. A lot of pressure on the 17-year-old, but he did a fantastic job yesterday at the delegation speech and telling his story, and pretty proud to be Canadian watching this young man as he develops, and we'll see how good he is in 2026, because potentially he could be the man that everybody's going to be watching.